Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, man, and here he is. What's up, Mr. Mbetsi? I don't want to say like punk. It's like, what's up, punk? Like, it feels weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I get that a lot, actually.
Do you?
Yeah.
That people are like, I don't want to just call you punk.
Yeah, they actually ask me, like, is that your real name?
Yeah.
Or what should I call you? Joseph or what? Yeah, but...
Punk what? Is what it is, yeah.
Yeah,
on the bill, when you go to the concert, it's going to say Punk Mbetsi.
Yeah.
Is the guy. So, DJ and producer, growing up in Polokwane, what do you think it is that people most associate with you? What do people usually say when we say Punk Mbetsi?
I think it has to be the music, because yeah, that's how I came into the industry. My signature sound would have to be the Afro, you know, sound that... Afro house sound that
yeah,
when artists like Gula the Song broke into the industry, that was the sound that was playing around that era. So I think when people associate me, they associate me with the Afro sound. So yeah,
which is a really great association to have in 2018, because yeah, the popularity of the music that you're doing is certainly like on the up and up and up,
yeah,
and up.
Yeah.
It's crazy how people are just really cottoning onto the sound that you're creating. But certainly when you started it, it wasn't as big as what it is now. And you maybe, I mean, did you predict that it would travel this kind of journey?
No, I didn't predict it. I think when I started it, it was just interest. I just did it out of interest. And for it to be as big as it is right now, it's just, I think I was in the right lane at the right time. So, yeah. That's what happened. That's what helped.
Well, the proof is in the music. So before we touch base any further with Mr. Mbetsi, I think we've got to take a listen to a tune. Tell me about this track that we're about to hear. This is a Punk Mbetsi remix of a track.
Yeah, it's actually a new song that's about to drop soon.
Dope.
Yeah, and I've worked with Magic Soul before with songs that I've featured them on. So this is a remix I actually did for them. And I think it's going to be a special one, if I could put it that way, because... they're very talented, so
yeah,
it was just me adding my own touch to the song, basically. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, well, we'll have a full in-depth conversation with you. I mean, if the song's terrible, then we have to say cheers, bro. It's been real. You're fantastic, but I don't think it's gonna go that way.
Yeah, hopefully.
More with the Punk Mbetsi, other side of this. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. Magic Soul there. It's called Number One. And of course, we're taking a listen to the Punk Mbetsi remix on that track. It is super, super dope. How long does a remix like this take to put together? Like, what's the process?
The thing is, with producing, it's unpredictable. Sometimes it takes a week, sometimes it takes longer.
Yeah.
But with this specific one, I remember it took a day, I think.
Wow. Okay.
So, but just... after the day, I just had to refine it and just listen to it over and over and just make my few changes here and there. But once I started with a project, I did it in a whole day.
Yeah. That's cool. And yeah, is it like you just sort of on your own, full on intense, sitting there, make it happen? What's the ritual?
Yeah, that's what usually happens.
Do you have to like make it in your underpants every time you make a song? Is there like a specific vibe that you have to follow?
No, I think with me, I have to first have to be inspired to work on a song.
Yeah.
So I have to listen to the original. For instance, this remix, I listened to the original and it was very, very dope.
Cool.
So I create the song first in my head and just play around with it. Then once I have a particular idea of how I want the song to sound like, that's when I get into working on it.
I dig it. It's a dope mix. All right, more with Punk Mbetsi, the other side of this.
Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
So let's talk for a second about kind of carving your space and building your brand, because you have to be sort of very strong creatively to be successful in music, but then you also have to develop a business acumen, just because that's just what you have to do in a South African musical context and climate. So how have you gone about figuring out that side, the sort of the money side of all the creativity?
I think a lot of it came from experience. I've been exposed to a lot of opportunities where I work with people who have experience in the business side of music.
Mm.
So that helped me be able to identify and say, oh, as an artist, I need to be able to know what stuff like royalties are and things like that. So I think it all goes down to you as an artist getting the initiative to go out and say, okay, look, you want to research and find out what is needed to become a brand, you know, and you work on honing that and putting it together as a solid thing. Because I keep telling people that I encounter that there is more to music than just the music. You know, there's also the other side of the music. There's a business element to it. So I've just took it upon myself to just seek more information from people, from resources such as the internet, and just try and grow as much as I can with knowledge to grow my brand and as an artist. Yeah.
I mean, it's a difficult one to kind of figure out. What is the bulk of your income now? Is it live music? Is it rights on stuff? Because this is what I think a lot of musicians are trying to kind of figure out. Where is the income going to come from? And is each income stream sort of equal, or how are you figuring out what it is that you make money from?
I think with most artists, most of the income comes from bookings. Because nowadays, especially in the climate that it is in South Africa, sales are not what pushes the artist to sustain his living. You know, so something like an album or a release is kind of a marketing tool for the artist to be relevant and be booked for shows. So I think most of the income comes from bookings that maintains what the artist should live on and continue giving you more music.
What is the big plan for the year? And I mean, you've done some really impressive stuff. You've obviously achieved success at home, but you've also achieved success overseas. And I know that your music is something that you push extensively in an overseas sort of context. But what's the big plan of action for the year ahead?
This year, I'm just working on a lot of projects that I started with last year. For instance, we have a event that I started last year. It's called The Rhythm. It's a it's a deep house event. And it just brings a new dynamic to, you know, eventing. You know, we stream the event live, and people just have an opportunity to view it online while the event is happening. So I just want to solidify that. And besides that, I just want to work on other projects. Like at the moment, we have Da Capo's album tour coming, so we're working on that, and we're trying to get it pushed as much as possible. But
it's quite a relationship that you and Da Capo have. I mean, it's kind of, it was 2010 that you guys sort of first linked up. I mean, that's quite a long run to have and still be talking to the person
especially in this industry.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, how would you describe kind of that dynamic between the two of you? Because it's obviously been quite mutually beneficial. And I would imagine that, you know, in that context, I think it's weird because it's hard because you're both sort of not competing with each other, but kind of competing with each other.
I get what you mean.
But then you figure out how to make it work. So how have you gone about that? It was quite an organic process.
Yeah, I think everything just happened organically. When we met, I heard his music first and I didn't know him. So when we met, we just kind of gelled. And I think it became more of a friendship than it was a music thing. So I think that's how we keep this whole thing of not stepping on each other's toes. It's more of a friendship than it is a music relationship, if I can put it that way. So that's how it's worked for both of us.
So cool. And I mean, the way the music industry's changed as well since 2010. I mean, what your dynamic with each other would have looked like in 2010 versus now. And the way it's changed is absolutely crazy. What would your sort of story be to someone that wants to get into it and wants to get into music, which is literally half the young population in South Africa at
the
moment?
Everyone wants to be a DJ,
Everybody wants to do what you're doing. But, I mean, you're doing it and, you know, you have clothes on your back and you have food in the fridge. So you're doing it a lot more successfully than a lot of other people. What is the harsh sort of honest, real truth about this whole thing? Just don't go easy. Don't say follow your dreams.
Yeah, follow your dreams. No. The harsh, honest truth is that you get rejected a lot.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people don't get told. And not everyone is going to like what you do. And for no particular reason, you know, that's what you're going to encounter as an artist. And get people who can give you criticism. Because I feel like sometimes as artists, people just want to associate themselves with people that just tell them what they want to hear. So I think it's good to have someone above you that can give you criticism as an artist and build you and help you grow individually. So I think that, and being able to invest in yourself as well, being willing to invest in yourself as an artist, because no one is going to want to invest in something that you're not willing to do yourself. Mm. So I think as an artist, it's also important to be able to say, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to spend money on my brand. I'm going to spend resources and all these things on making myself a solidified artist.
Hmm. All right. Very, very cool. Hanging out with Punk and Betsy. Tell me for a second about this track, Woman.
Woman.
And, yeah, the theme behind it, the story, the process, the workshopping, everything.
Woman is a song that I did last year. I featured Mr. Morph. He's a Nigerian artist. And the story behind it, I just gave him the beats and said, because I heard him, I did a remix for him before. And then that's when I approached him and I said, yeah, I need to work with you. Gave him the beats. He wrote the song, which if you listen to the lyrics, he's just talking about how much he loves women. So it's a pretty cool song, in my opinion. But it was also an honor to work with him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's been getting positive feedback, which is something I'm very grateful for.
Dope. All right, more with Mr. Mbetsi, other side of this. Kelman on CliffCentral.com. On Woman, I really dig the deeper, darker kind of like...
Yeah, that's the sound I'm going for, actually.
It's cool.
Know?
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you really think is doing a good job locally that you think like, okay, cool, you're doing quite a good job. I mean, I'm still coming for you, but I can recognize that you're doing a really, really great job. And I appreciate that maybe you're like 40 and you've worked really hard.
I think without a doubt, it has to be artists like Black Coffee, yeah. You know. That's just a no-brainer.
I knew the answer with while doing the question. That's why I was even like 40 years. I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer with Black Coffee, with the boundaries that he's breaking.
What do you think he's done right? Like that he's just gotten right?
Persistence.
Yeah.
I think that's something people don't teach you, you know. Mm. It's something that you just need to have by yourself. So I think he's been very persistent in an industry that wasn't very favorable to his sound, you know. So I think that's what he did right, because I'm pretty sure that there are other, if we're looking at it musically, there are other producers that produce maybe better music than him, but he's taken what he can do and stayed in his lane and pushed it to a different level, you know. So I think that's what he did right.
Yeah, and been very focused on it as well.
Yeah.
All right, listen, well, it's been really, really great meeting you. What's the one big line that you want to leave us with? The one thing we have to have learned about Mr. Mbetsi in this little chat of ours?
One line.
Or two.
I think I'll just touch base on what I was saying earlier about being an artist. I think you just need to have a thick skin as an artist, and... as much as cliche as this may sound, just don't give up on your dreams, no matter how much it costs you. Yeah.
I dig it. It's a Punk and Bedsy on Instagram, SoundCloud, and Twitter. On Facebook, it's Punk and Bedsy Official. Sir, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such an honor.
This is CliffCentral.com.